His coat smelled like mulled spice and cedar. It was divinely warm and inviting, even on a summer's day. The double row of buttons on his embroidered waistcoat shifted against the expanse of his broad chest as he finished maneuvering the last of her ribbon into place. She could tell by the reflective metal gleam of those buttons that they weren't painted brass made to emulate silver, but were, in fact, real silver. Only an elite group of men in New York could afford silver buttons. It was an elite group she knew she'd never be able to touch, not even with an outstretched toe.
"There we are."
Meeting her gaze, he drew his gloved hands away and offered in a low baritone,
"And how are you today, madam?"
Blinking up at him, she noted the way his eyes and his brow had softened, lending to a boyish vulnerability that didn't match his imposing height of more than 6 feet. She tried to quell the anxious tingle knotting her stomach. Despite the full bustle on Broadway, this glorious man sought to share in a bit of conversation with her.
"I'm very well, sir, thank you."
She refrained from asking how he was, out of respect for the band around his arm, and instead offered a flirtatious smile, gesturing toward the pleated rim of her bonnet.
"Rather impressive. Have you considered taking up haberdashery?"
He slowly grinned, the edges of those handsome gray eyes and that firm, full mouth crinkling, brightening his overly serious appearance.
"No, I haven't."
Of course he hadn't. He had silver buttons. He probably owned every haberdashery in town, or in the town from whence he came. He shifted toward her, his large frame blocking whatever view she had of the street.
"Are you from around these parts?"
She refrained from snorting.
"You're overly kind, to be sure, but given that my bonnet can't even hold a ribbon, most certainly not. Only gold-feathered peacocks can afford these parts, sir. I'm merely passing through."
"Gold-feathered peacocks?"
He smirked and set his hands behind his back, broadening his impressive shoulders.
"Is that what you like to call those of wealth?"
She scrunched her nose playfully.
"Nah, not really. I'm being polite, seeing that you're one of them, and I've roughed you up well enough."
A gruff laugh escaped his lips.
"Rest assured, I am quite used to it,"
he remarked, still intimately holding her gaze.
"I've already endured more than my share of elbowing from the public, given that I'm British. Too many Americans still remember the burning of Washington, but I swear to you, I didn't do it."
Georgia burst into laughter, smitten with his marvelously wry humor.
"Ah, now, can you readily blame them? You Brits are nothing but gadflies cloaked in a fancy accent."
He paused and leaned in, heatedly searching her face without any further attempt to mask his unabashed interest.
"Might I cease being polite for one brief moment and ask whether you would like to join me for coffee over at my hotel? It's been quite some time since I have allowed myself a moment of leisure. Honor me."
The wistful intensity lingering within that taut face was so galvanizing it sent a tremor through her body. Though tempted to glimpse how the other half lived over the rim of a porcelain cup, she knew better than to involve herself with a man who wore silver buttons. It would never last beyond the toss of her skirts and a single night.